Today, I'll be talking about tragedy and revenge. It's a sad event that happened in the life of Jacob and his family. And before I go into that sad event, I would like to recap on the background. So if you look on the left side of the screen, you see a map. And you see coming from the north is Jacob's route from Haran back to Canaan, and coming from the south is Esau's route from the land of Edom, where they met at the river of Jabbok, and there they reconciled between the two brothers. And then Esau then made his way back down south to Edom again, and Jacob moved westward to Succoth, and then crossing Jordan River to Shechem, where he dwelt for a while. And it was at Shechem that tragedy struck Dinah, Jacob's daughter. And let me read to you the scripture. Genesis 34, 1 to 12. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. So Shechem is a city. Dinah was a young girl, probably a teenager at a point in time. She went out into the city to be with her friends. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Okay, this Shechem is the name of a person. He is the son of Hamor, a ruler of that country. And so you have to distinguish between Shechem, the son of this prince, and Shechem, the city. They have the same name. And so Shechem, the young man, saw Dinah, defiled her, crime of violence. Because he was attracted to her, there was lust in Shechem. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. So here he was very attracted. There was this lust, and he wanted to possess Dinah. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. So after defiling Dinah, he went to the father and said, I want this woman as my wife. Asked Hamor, the father, to grant him his wish, because the father is the ruler, so certain powers reside with the father. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. So Jacob got news that this terrible tragedy happened to Dinah, and he kept him calm until his sons come back from the pasture. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. So the father of Shechem went to see Jacob about his son's request to marry Dinah. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, very angry, very upset, because he had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. So, okay, I mean, it is bad enough for things like that to happen in today. It is much, much worse in the ancient times. This thing ought not to have happened. It is not just a crime of violence against a person, sexual assault. It is also a grave insult on the family. That's why the brothers were all very grieved, very angry. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give him your wife. So Hamer, the father, told Jacob that his son, Shechem, wants Dinah to be his wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. So Hamer went on. Together with the request, he says, you know, let there be intermingling between your race and my race. You know, that the people in Shechem are the original people, the Canaanites. And so, in order to persuade Jacob to marry Dinah to Shechem, he says, let there be intermingling, intermarriages between your daughters and the Jewish people, that Jacob and his family can also take the Shechemite's daughters to marry. And so there will be a settlement of the Jewish people, Jacob's family, in Shechem. So that is attractive to Jacob, who is settling down in Shechem. And he shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. So further attractions, you can trade in Shechem, you can buy land, you can live, you can make business, and live well here together with the Shechemites. So all these are there to attract Jacob to allow Dinah to marry Shechem, his son. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren. So Shechem was also there meeting with Jacob and the brothers. And he said, let me find grace in your eyes that ye shall say unto me, I will give. He said, whatever price you name, I will give, as long as you let me marry Dinah. So Shechem was just out to get his possession, his the eye, the apple of his eye, Dinah. Yeah. He's willing to offer anything for that prized possession. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. There you are. Shechem is willing to give anything, any amount of dowry, anything you ask, as long as you give me Dinah as my wife. So that's what happens when a person is lusting after a prized possession. Yeah, it is a trophy. You will give anything to possess your trophy. That is Shechem. So I will now show you a video of how starts with Shechem. It went into the city and took Dinah and defiled her, and subsequently the transaction, so to speak, between Shechem and Hamor on the one part and Jacob and the brothers on the other part, to have Dinah marry Shechem. This video is different from the past, and it is not so well taken, so it's a bit unclear. Yeah, the image is unclear. There is no subtitle, but there is a narrator who's narrating in English. So listen to the narrator. Again, I would like you to be cautious watching the video. The narration may not be accurate. The events also may not be accurate as depicted in the Bible. So be discerning as you watch the video. Yeah. And know which are accurate parts and which are inaccurate parts. By and large, the story is there. It's the details which may not be accurate. So I will now go on to the video.
When Dinah, the daughter of Jacob and Leah, went out to visit some of the women of the land, Hamor's son, Shechem, seized her and raped her. When Jacob heard that his daughter had been defiled, he held his peace until his sons returned home from the fields. When they heard their sister had been raped, Jacob's sons were angered and seethed with indignation. Shechem's behavior was an outrage and could not be tolerated. Hamor tried to appeal to the sons, telling them that Shechem had his heart set on marrying Dinah. And then Shechem himself appealed to Jacob and his sons, telling them no matter how high they set the bride price, he would pay whatever they asked. Only give me the girl to be my wife.
Right, there you are, the video clip. And I'd like to move on to the spiritual lesson that you learn from this video clip. Okay, in Singapore, we have this crime against women as well. And frequently, what comes across is date rape. And let me read to you this news from CNA, published on the 23rd of April, 2019, where three men claimed trial for various charges of sexual assault of an 18-year-old at a birthday party. This took place in 2014. Of course, these three men were all found guilty. And what happened was the court heard that there was a birthday party and the victim was plied with alcoholic drinks until she collapsed to the floor. And while unconscious in the hotel room, the woman was sexually assaulted by five men. So now two of them were sentenced to 11 and 13 years of jail, six strokes of the cane. The other three were awaiting sentencing at the time of this news report. So what you can see here is they were at a birthday party. So people are all friends or friends of friends. Yeah, it's a happy occasion and things like this can happen. Let me move on to the next news. 2021, published in Straits Times, a man was given 28 years jail and 24 strokes of the cane for raping a 13-year-old girl. She admitted that she force-fed vodka to the victim and brutally raped and sexually assaulted her over a harrowing 2 hours at a secluded part of Kallang Riverside on the night of October 24, 2017. The victim was acquainted with him to one of her friends and called him uncle. So the common thread that runs through these two reports is that they know each other, either friend or friends, or they are friends or they are relatives. Yeah? The victim here calls him uncle. It's a term of endearment. And things like that can happen. And so what does AWARE say? AWARE is the Association for Women, and I quote what they say here. Most rapes are not committed by a stranger, but by people who know their victims. Many victims have met or gone out with their assailant previously and are supposedly their friends. This is called acquaintance or date rape. So remember here, rapes are not usually committed by stranger, but by people we know. So women who go out with friends, please take care. And there are safety tips in the AWARE website. Please be aware of them. I think it is not just crimes against women. Christians will also face many types of crimes. Robbery, theft, burglary. And as Christians, we have to take care of ourselves and of our possessions. We cannot just take it for granted that, oh, God will protect us. And then we leave our door open. We do not take care of our laptops. We leave it in the public place and go to the toilet and come back to the public place. It's gone. So there are things that we have to exercise basic care. At night, we don't go into a dark lane. We avoid going out to places where, I mean, in this day and age, where you know there are gangsters in that lane, it's not a good place to go to. There are people who will harass you. you keep clear of those places, men or women. So God gives us a sound mind, good moral judgment to decide for ourselves how to take care of ourselves, how to take care of our possessions, and we must exercise our mind. And if we don't, then we will fall into danger and also harm. So these stories in the Bibles teach us one thing. We have to be careful to take care of ourselves, and God will put that responsibility for ourselves. We have to use our mind. What sort of friends we mix with, or even if we go out, we have to go out in groups. We don't go out one-on-one with another man whom we hardly know, or although we know, but still, it's not safe to go with a man. And it's safer to go in a group. So it is the same with Christian men as well. Yeah. You go out with friends that you can trust. You don't go out with friends who you think that are gangsters or people who will do violence to you, you know? So it's the same with men too. So we have to be careful, yeah, with ourselves. So going on with Shechem, he desired to marry Dinah as an object to fulfill his lust. Of course, if you read in scripture, it is put as though he has a lot of love. Yeah, coming from him, it is like love. He loves Dinah. But what sort of love is that kind of love that forced himself upon another person, another woman? It is a crime of violence. And then he says he loves Dinah. How can it be? When you exercise violence and you assaulted the victim, you force yourself upon the victim, and you call that love. Certainly not. Yeah? It is lust. So Shechem was exercising his brutal force on Dinah. And on top of that, he wants Dinah now as his wife. Like he wants a trophy as his possession. He wants his car, or he wants his flat, or he wants some property because he's attracted to that property. So that's what it is. And so what happens next? Let us read scripture. Verse 13 onwards. And the sons of Jacob. So verse 12, you recall, Shechem said, name your price. I will give it. Just let me have Dinah as my wife. Yeah, very arrogant way. There's no limit to his price. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And he said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. Okay, interestingly, why did the Bible say Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as he spoke to Shechem and his father, Hamor? Deceitfully means they are not really willing to give Dinah to the brother, but they are saying that they are willing. That's meaning of deceitfully. Yeah? And so they did say, we are not willing to give because you are all uncircumcised. Because if you are uncircumcised, that would be an insult to us, reproach unto us, if we give Dinah to you. And in this we will consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. So the deception is this. If you circumcise, then Dinah I will give Dinah to you to wed. And we will marry your daughters, and you will marry our daughters. That is part of the deception by Jacob's son. But if he will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughters and we will be gone. Yeah. So if you do not circumcise yourself, you will not have Dinah, and we will leave Shechem. And their words please Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son, because to them, doable. And if they are able to, if they circumcise themselves, they will have, Dinah will marry Shechem. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the house of his father. He was very delighted because Shechem is going to circumcise himself and he will get Dinah. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of the city, saying, so it is not just Shechem required to be circumcised, it is the whole city. The males, all the males of Shechem must be circumcised. So Hamor and Shechem did as what Jacob's son required. They went to the city folks. These men were peaceable and with us. So they spoke to the city men. They said, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to give us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us, for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, the son hearkened all that went out of the gate of this city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. So when Hamor and Shechem persuaded the city men, they all agreed. Yeah, the city is big enough for Jacob and family, and then there will be better trade, there will be more, everyone will be more prosperous, there will be more livestock, because Jacob is rich, he brought along with his livestock, and there will be more trade between Jacob's family and the Shechemites. Only if all of us are circumcised. A small little request of Jacob and the sons. And so the city, the Shechemites all agreed. And they all were circumcised. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. On the third day of the circumcision of the male of Shechem, they were all in pain. Simeon and Levi went into the city with a sword, killed all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of the Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. So now, not only the two brothers, all the other sons came into the city and looted the city because of Shechem's defilement of their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. You see, what happened was that they did not just kill Shechem, because Shechem was the perpetrator of the crime against their sister. They killed the whole city. All the males in Shechem were killed. And then the women folks were all captured. The children were all captured. All the livestock, all the goats, all the cattle, everything was captured by the Jacob's sons. The whole city was ransacked. Into the house, they went into each and every house and they looted the house. What a terrible revenge. So violence beget even more violence. Crime begets a bigger crime. The whole city was in chaos because it started with the rape of Dinah. And what did Jacob say? Jacob said to his son, "You all have troubled me to make me a stink among the inhabitants of the land," because the sons went to kill everybody in Shechem. What do you think the Shechemites, what do you think that the other Canaanites, the other cities and villages will do? They are going to take revenge against Jacob and the family. And they will kill Jacob and the family. That's what Jacob told Simeon and Levi. And they said, "Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot?" The two sons replied, "Should Shechem have done what he has done? Treat our sister like a prostitute?" They were not remorseful. They were not apologetic of what they have done. So, okay, let us watch the video. And we will see from where we last left off until the very end, where there was carnage and ransacking of the whole city. And okay, let's go on to the video.
"We cannot do this thing," replied the brothers, "to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we consent to you, that you will become as we are, and every male among you be circumcised. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone." The men of the town agreed with the conditions, and every able-bodied man in the community was circumcised. On the third day, when all the men of the town were still in pain, recovering from their circumcisions, Dinah's brothers Simeon and Levi, two of Jacob's sons, took their swords and advanced against the city without any resistance, and they massacred every male. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem, and took Dinah from Shechem's house. Then the other sons of Jacob followed up the slaughter and continued to sack the city of Shechem. They seized all their flocks and herds, carried off all their wealth, their women and their children, and took whatever was in the houses. No man was left alive, and nothing was left standing. Jacob was gravely disturbed. He told Simeon and Levi they had brought great trouble to him and his family by making him odious to the inhabitants of the land. "My numbers are few," he said, "and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed." But the two sons continued to defend their action, arguing, "Should our sister be treated like a whore?" Shortly thereafter, Jacob left Shechem, and in Genesis 35:1, the Lord said to Jacob, "Arise,
go up to Bethel and settle there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau.
So, there you are, the deception and revenge and killing and bloodshed. If you look at this sort of a flow chart that I've come up with to condense the cause and effect of revenge and lust, it started with Shechem's lust for Dinah. Yeah. And he defiled Dinah because of his lust. And because of that, Jacob and the family was very distressed. And this thing should not have happened. And there was a lot of hatred, especially among the brothers, for Shechem. So with hatred comes revenge. They wanted to take revenge. You have done this most dishonorable thing, not only for Dinah, but against the family. I want my pound of flesh. I want to take revenge. And they devise a deception that if you all circumcise yourself, not just Shechem alone, but the whole city, I will let Dinah marry Shechem and we will have intermixing of the two tribes of people. They agreed. And then when they are nursing their circumcision, they went in to kill and to loot. Not just killing Shechem was the only one who perpetrated the crime against Dinah. They killed the entire city of the men and then captured all the women and children, captured all the livestock, the goats and everything, went into the houses, took all the possessions. The whole city was ransacked just because of Shechem's crime of defilement against Dinah. So you will look at these two and say that this is disproportionate, you know. One crime against a person, and then the revenge was so big, so much more bloodshed compared to the first crime. So it is with revenge. There is no calibration. If you take my apple, I'll take your apple. If you take my orange, I'll take your orange. It is hatred. Hatred gives rise to extreme violence to vent your hatred against the other party. And together comes herd instinct. And when there's herd instinct, everything will just be chaotic and turn into pandemonium. Killing, looting, and there's no stopping. Once it starts, you know, as you saw in the video. And what happens next? The last part, retaliation. Jacob was wise. He knows that all the other cities and villages around Shechem, with all the Canaanites living in them, they are going to take revenge against Jacob and his family. And Jacob and his family are so few in numbers, they will be completely be destroyed. And that's the end. So, what do we learn from this lesson, the spiritual lesson? Yeah, don't take revenge. I think the Bible has it all. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, as in God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So the Lord will take revenge it is not for us to take revenge. Yeah? The Lord is the mighty judge. He will know the precise chastisement or punishment for the perpetrator. Yeah? It is not for us to take revenge into our own hands. And revenge will give rise to retaliation and continued violence. And might I say, if I read to you what happens subsequently after they have ransacked Shechem. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, and that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. So God knew what was going to happen too, that there is going to be retaliation against Jacob and them. And God told Jacob to leave Shechem and go to Bethel. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave up unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So there you are, verse 5. When Jacob was leaving Shechem for Bethel, there were many other Canaanite cities along the route. And the terror of God was upon these cities, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. God actually protected Jacob and family as they journeyed from Shechem to Bethel, because the Canaanites around were all wanting to kill Jacob and family. But the terror of God was upon these cities, and they did not pursue Jacob and his sons. So revenge gives rise to more revenge, more violence, and many innocent people will be harmed. Just like you see Shechem, all the innocent people who were not part of the crime of defiling Dinah. Only one person was guilty of that crime, Shechem. But all the innocent people of Shechem were all killed in the heat of the revenge. Innocent people all killed. So how would that come into our lives? How does this lesson come into our lives? Of course, we have people who are unreasonable and we want to take revenge to. Unreasonable bosses, colleagues, clients, friends. Bottom line is, don't take revenge. I have my fair share of unreasonable bosses, abusive bosses, bosses who use vulgar language on you because they are the boss and you are a staff. You're nothing. You're a nobody. And they treat you like one. Unreasonable bosses, abusive bosses, but don't take revenge. And I have not taken revenge. Thank God. And when it comes to a push factor from abusive bosses, I will just depart. And God provides another place of work. Yeah, with a reasonable salary. I thank and praise the Lord that I did not react with vengeance. And some bosses can be very abusive. I'm sure some of you would have come across such bosses in your working life. And what we have to do is, if it's God's will for us to leave, we leave. Based on the employment contract that we have, give the necessary notice for vaccination, and you leave peacefully. Don't upset the whole company. Don't take properties belonging to the company. Don't write poison pen letters. Deal in character assassination. Don't. Because you are a Christian, we are Christians, and we will show our testimony as a Christian, even though in the presence of grave abuse and bad treatment from our bosses. And may I also share that subsequently when I left, I went to a better place. In fact, many instances, I went to better places. And I praised the Lord for taking care of me. So if you abide by God's law and do not take things into your own hands to take revenge, God will honor you and God will protect you and help you. So if I will also share this Straits Times, 2019, not too long ago, I'm sure many of you come across this news about 200 pieces of luggage, belonging to passengers of SIA and Silkair, ended up in the wrong destination because the airport baggage handler swapped the destination tags because he was unhappy with his duties. He took revenge. He didn't like the work given to him by his bosses. He took revenge. He swapped all the destination tags of the baggage. And they all ended up in different countries. And poor baggage handler was sentenced to 20 days jail for mischief. But look at this case. He was angry and he vented his anger against the poor customers, the poor passengers of the flight. Because they lost their bags, they ended up in a country of their destination and their bags ended up in a different country. So they are without their clothing, without their personal items, and these poor passengers have to suffer a few days. Yeah? Innocent people are harmed because of revenge. But how does it help baggage handler that these innocent people are harmed? It's of no use. What the baggage handler should have done is, if he doesn't like the job, it's too heavy, he either make his unhappiness known to his boss, and if there's no change, leave and look for a better job. That will help him solve his problem. Not take revenge and then swap address of bags around. That doesn't help him. Instead, he was given 20 years jail with a criminal record to himself. So let us learn from this event in Jacob's life. We have to be careful for ourselves, take care of ourselves, and remember, do not take revenge. If something happened to you, some unfortunate event happened to yourself, do not take revenge. And seek the correct route, the right method of redress if a wrong has been done to you. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson of tragedy of Dinah. We pray, Lord, that all our daughters will be safe, that they will take care when they go out. And we pray for ourselves that we will also take care when we go out. Our sons will take care. We ourselves will take care. Members of the family, that they will go to places which are safe, And also have friends who are safe, who are known to be of good conduct, that they will, that we will have fellowship, we will have gatherings with like-minded people, people who are good in conduct. So we pray that Thou will always protect us from all harm, from all dangers. And we pray for Thy goodness and Thy mercy. Help us, Lord, to remember You always, give thanks to Thee for Thy goodness and Thy mercy, and for Thy kindness in protecting us always. I pray for Thy loving care, protection. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.